Hello and welcome to our reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We're continuing on in our series of looking at John's Gospel as we ask the question, how do we love others like Jesus does? And we're currently in John's Gospel, chapter 9, and we're going to be considering the whole of the chapter as it deals with one man's experience of healing by Jesus. As it's a long chapter, I'm not going to be reading the passage like I usually do, but instead I'll be performing a monologue of what the man's experience might have been like, what he might have been thinking as he reflected back on the events of the day. And as we listen to the monologue, I'd like us to pay attention to the way that Jesus heals the man, not just physically, but socially, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Jesus heals the man completely. He didn't just help the man see, he restored the man and gave him a new chance at life. We are called to love others by pointing them to this Jesus, the Jesus who loves so much that he heals us completely, totally. And this is the God that has put his spirit in us and asks us to be his hands and his feet and his mouth on earth, to be the ones demonstrating his complete and total restoring love. He wants us to continue to reach out to people and show them that restoration, true restoration, can be found and is truly possible in Jesus because of what he has done for us. So let us just think upon those things as we listen to the monologue, as we cast our minds back to all those years ago, as Jesus walked along the road. I really can't believe what has happened to me today. It started out as just another ordinary day. I was sat along the road as usual, begging, hoping for a bit of mercy, or to be honest, even pity from the people passing by. Then this noisy group of people walked up to me and I realised that this is the man that they call Jesus with his disciples. This was the one that everyone had been talking about, and to be honest, at first I wondered what he is doing talking to me. When they all found out that I'd been blind since birth, the disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" I thought to myself, oh, here we go again. Let's make a lesson out of the blind guy. I've heard it all. Rabbis and all kinds of religious people constantly using me as an object lesson. And frankly, I was just so tired of it. I opened my mouth to tell them to get lost, when Jesus replied with something that I have never heard before. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." I was shocked. Never before has someone looked at my condition and not immediately assumed that I did something wrong or that I was cursed because of my parents' sin. I mean, even my parents have struggled, as they've, whenever they've looked at me, they felt a mixture of anger and guilt, and it's always seemed like they aren't really sure how to deal with me. And yet Jesus, he took a look at me and he recognised, he looked at me and saw that we hadn't sinned. It wasn't because of my sin, of any sin, that I was born blind. And Jesus continued saying that this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And I remember thinking, what did he mean by that? How could my blindness happen so that the works of God are displayed? I didn't have time to ask those questions out loud because Jesus continued to speak to those around him. "As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." I didn't understand what he was talking about. What works was he doing? Who had sent him? And what did he even mean that I am the light of the world? While I was pondering all these things and trying to make sense of everything, I heard him spit on the ground, and he seemed to mix the mud on the ground with his spit, or at least I assume that's what he was doing. I confess that I jumped a little in surprise when suddenly I felt Jesus' hands on my face, mixing the paste into my skin, into my eyes. "Go," he told me, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So that's exactly what I did. I mean, I couldn't have done anything else, could I? And as I was washing the mud away from my eyes, I suddenly became aware of colour, the likes of which I have never seen. Suddenly I could see the bright light shining from the sun ahead, and I could see the brilliant blue of the water, the glittering of the sun shining on the surface. Never before have I ever experienced something so amazing, and I still find myself staring at the beauty of this world. I will never take my sight for granted, the ability to see such wonderful things. This man has shown me such love by healing my sight, by giving me this amazing gift of sight, going from nothingness to full technicolor. I was overjoyed, but I still had so many questions swirling in my mind. Who is he? Why did he show me such love? And how did he do it? Of course, as I walked back home, I was almost dancing with joy. I was so happy to be able to see for the first time that I was praising God and telling everyone I met about what happened. My neighbours all came out to see what was occurring. I could hear them all talking to each other. "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" And others said, "No, he only looks like him." But I assured them that it was me. I was the man who used to sit and beg, and now I was healed. Suddenly, I felt like I could be welcomed into this community for the first time in my life. Before this, I was just the blind man, the sinful one, the cursed one, the one who was to be avoided. Now, I could be the healed man, the blessed man, the one who was given a new chance at life. In this moment, I realised that Jesus had not just healed me of my sight, but he'd healed me in my community. He'd given me a place. He had restored me to life around me. But my surreal day over wasn't over yet. I was brought before the Pharisees, who questioned me on what happened. I thought, honestly, that they were going to be amazed and praise God for his mercy and miraculous healing. But instead, they were angry because Jesus healed me on the Sabbath. Some of them started accusing Jesus. "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But some of the other Pharisees seemed to realise that he was special. How can a sinner perform such signs? They kept debating these things until they turned back to me and demanded, "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." Well, of course, I answered truthfully with what I was coming to realise. He is a prophet. And yet still the debate raged. They even questioned if I was truly blind or if I'd been lying. They called my parents to confirm that I was the blind man that was begging. I mean, really? Why would I lie about this? What would be the point? My parents, of course, confirmed that I was their son, and yes, I was born blind. But when they were asked how I could see, they were evasive. And to be honest, more focused on looking after themselves. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. I mean, I get it. Kind of. They were afraid because they didn't want to be thrown out of the synagogue for believing in Jesus. But they just left me to deal with the questions and the interrogation from the Pharisees. Thanks, Mum, Dad. So, of course, they turned to me again and demanded that I tell the truth. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. They commanded me under oath to tell the truth, and yet then they tried to get me to say what they wanted me to say instead of the truth. Well, I'm sorry, but I was going to tell the truth. Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Again, they demanded to know what happened and how he did it. I admit it. By this point, I was getting pretty fed up of all the questions and all the demands, and so I was quite cutting with my reply. I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? I hoped that they might see how ridiculous their questioning was and it would get them to back off. But no, if anything, it just riled them up further. They insulted me more, and after more back and forth argument, they said a horrible thing to me. They told me I was steeped in sin at birth. How dare I lecture them? And then they threw me out. Threw me out of the synagogue where I was only just able to enter. And I admit, at this point, I was feeling kind of low. Because although I had my sight restored, and I had a chance to be restored to community life, it felt like I was still being excluded from participating in spiritual matters. I mean, I was used to not being allowed to join with the many religious rituals and practices because of being blind. And so, you know, in their opinion, I was cursed. But I had hoped that now that I could see, I could finally be welcomed into faith. But it seemed they didn't want to know. But at that moment, Jesus found me again. And he gave me a new hope, a new faith. He asked me, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And then he explained, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." I was immediately overcome with awe and wonder. I was in the presence of someone I had heard about in the stories from the scriptures, the Messiah. What else could I do but bow down and worship him? This man who healed my eyes, restored me to community, and was now before me, was the Son of Man. He has shown me such love by healing me physically, socially, spiritually. My life has been forever changed because of Jesus. It will never be the same. Man's life, I imagine, was forever changed because of Jesus. How could it not be? He had been restored to good health, been restored to community life, and being shown the way, the truth, and the life by following Jesus. And that's what Jesus offers us too. He offers us restoration. He wants us to be people of joy because we have been restored by him. But he also wants us to be messengers of that joy, messengers of that peace, messengers of that healing. He wants us to go out into our daily lives and take his perfect restoration, his perfect healing to those that we meet. And we might not be necessarily healing people physically, although God may be doing that through us. But he does want us to heal people spiritually, to heal people emotionally, to bring them into community, to bring them into the family of God. So as we consider the events of our week to come, prayerfully consider how you might be a messenger for God, a messenger of the healing power of Jesus Christ.